Welcome to the FinTech Scaly Show. This podcast is sponsored by ScaleUp Consulting, helping FinTech startups accelerate customer acquisition and set up business operations to scale systematically. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Now, over to the show with Richard Doty, founder and host. Hey, what's up, everyone? Today on the show, we're excited to have Dominic Broom, CEO of Finion. Prior to joining Finion, Dominic has had an absolutely stellar career in the financial services space, which has spanned, 30-odd years. He's worked in senior positions across both banking and also from a consulting point of view. He is also part of the worshipable company of World Traders. And we're so excited to have you on the show today, Dom. I mean, welcome.
Well, thank you, Richard. You flatter me with that introduction, but I'm really looking forward to our conversation this morning.
No, great. Let's kick it off. And what I like to do at the front end of the show is just to provide a bit of insights about you so that our audience can get to know you before we sort of dive into the nitty-gritty of maybe some of the war stories as we go through our conversation. So, maybe we can take a bit of a step back from Finion for a second. And, it would be good to understand maybe how the early part of your career your career, because I guess there's no early part, you've been around for a while, how your career has helped you really step up to the plate and start succeeding and creating that impact at Finion.
No, sure. Well, having flattered me, you've now told me I've been around for a while. Sounds like that. But hopefully not. So now I trained as a lawyer, and after completing that training, I decided I wanted to get into banking and joined Chase Manhattan Bank in the early 90s, where I underwent banking training at their Grant Center in New York City. Great way to start one's career, great place to be at the time. And I decided to specialize, sort of drawing on those legal skills and banking skills that I had acquired in the field of trade finance, because I particularly wanted to support the growth of the real economy. Mm. And in my early days, I helped to structure trade and supply chain solutions for companies across many different geographies, and was fortunate to be mentored by some of the industry's foremost experts. So gained a deep understanding through that of how the market operated, and dare I say, a reputation for getting business done. Mm. In addition to acquiring those business skills, I was, and I think this is critical for any business people, I was able to develop a wide network of professional contacts across multiple corporate and institutional sectors, some of whom, I'm delighted to say, are now joining Finion Exchange as clients. And more recently, I've worked with and consulted for a number of fintechs in the transaction banking field. And by witnessing firsthand how creative and dynamic those firms are, I've attempted to bring similar creativity and dynamism to my current role at Finion Exchange.
You mentioned a couple of salient points there. One is around mentorship, the other is around business skills, and the other is around networks. I mean, how is this, obviously your networks, you've been able to bring clients into the business as you've landed, but what about the other two, sort of that mentorship and the business skills, learning your trade in a way, how's that helped you push the business forward at Finion over the last few months?
Well, for me, mentoring, as my career's evolved, has actually sort of taken on sort of two sides. And certainly early days, it was watching, observing, being trained both formally and informally by industry practitioners and experts, as I was saying. But in, the last 10 to 15 years, I've been myself an active mentor of businesses, actually particularly during my latter years in banking, working with the 30% Club, a fantastic organization that organizes the mentoring and promotion of female executives within industry. And through that program, through the mentoring of colleagues within the banks that I've worked in, I've learned as much, I think, through reverse mentoring, listening to youthful talent, emerging talent, and what they're thinking and what they're trying to do, as I have through, you know, downward mentoring from executives mentoring me. So, you know, I think that combination has been very powerful, because mentoring is absolutely a 360-degree activity as far as I'm concerned.
And just staying on that for a second, because mentoring is a big topic, and also making certain that, you know, as you scale, when new people come into the business, new employees, they have the right tools, the right knowledge, the right, I guess, understanding of what's required to do. So I guess what I'm thinking is, how has that mentoring experience helped Finneon as you guys have started growing? Is it, have you put in like little training on a schedules or training workshops or mentoring workshops to allow, you know, the people as they come through the door, they at least have somewhere to land, somewhere to learn, and then somewhere to build their knowledge?
Well, you know, we're still a small team at Finneon, but I think, you know, what I have done, you know, for the core team, and certainly the younger members of the core team, is brought in consultants who are working with us in part on a sort of success fee basis. You know, like many fintechs, you know, that's sort of a model that works well. It limits the upfront cost. And, you know, these are people from within my network who I've worked with, you know, in different guises over many years, senior executives who have looked at what Finneon does and, you know, been excited by the opportunity of working with us. And, you know, a couple of individuals, you know, both the seasoned trade and banking professionals over many years, I think of in particular, who we're working with. And, you know, the way in which they are guiding, you know, at quite a tactical and practical level, Richard, members of the team at Finneon, you know, is exciting. I mean, you know, the day job, the what we've asked them to do is help us to acquire new business. But inevitably, you know, as thoughtful and seasoned practitioners as they are, you know, they're working in tandem with members of the in-house team and coaching them on how deal structuring can be done, on how responses to exporters, you know, one of our sort of primary client bases, should be made in order to, you know, enhance our overall delivery model. And that's, you know, that's really great to see. I myself try as much as I can to do that. You know, I'm often receiving, you know, requests from members of the team, you know, how should I respond to this, or how can we address a particular issue raised by a certain client. And, you know, I enjoy that solutioning. In fact, yesterday afternoon, I spent 2.5 hours with a long-standing collaborator of mine based in Munich. It's a German business that we're entering into a partnership with. And, you know, he and I are both bankers of a certain vintage. And we had a thoroughly engaging and actually very rewarding sort of couple of hours working through some solutioning on behalf of, relating to a project that we're looking to launch on behalf of some clients. And, you know, as I reflected on that yesterday evening, you know, I really enjoyed that sort of, you know, back to basics, you know, one would have called it whiteboarding in the old days, you know, solutioning around how to get business done. And my colleague, confrere, said exactly the same, Dom. He said, Dom, it's been such fun. We've really sort of got down and dirty on this, and I'm energized by the way in which we've looked through solutions. And to be honest, that's what's always attracted me. And the bit I've enjoyed most about working in the trade finance domain is that, you know, no business opportunity is exactly the same as another one. And much as one looks to implement, you know, processes and procedures, and certainly, you know, technology, what we're all about is, you know, bringing great advantage and benefit and streamlining of processes and procedures to the table. But, you know, the fun bit is, you know, finding that solution that works for the client and then implementing that.
You just mentioned the attraction to trade finance, and I was wondering, as you move through your career, obviously a great banking career, some consulting in with fintechs, and then the Finian opportunity. What attracted you to that opportunity initially?
Well, I sort of take a sort of step back when answering that, if I may. I mean,
yeah, sure.
To sort of view, why the opportunity and, why it resonated with me as a whole. If one looks back over the last couple of decades, as global economies have liberalized and expanded, the demand for trade finance services has continued to grow. But, as a result of the mix of regulatory, sort of post-financial crash 12 years ago and commercial factors, fintech firms, as I observed it from within a bank, are increasingly driving much of the change in the industry. So that was the trigger, if you like. And when I was introduced to Michelle Kilsey and the other founders of Finian Exchange, I was hugely impressed by the capabilities and functionality of the platform that they had created. And I saw that it had the potential to really democratize the provision of trade and supply chain finance solutions. And joining a company, as I did last September, at the sort of early stage of its development. So, I came on board when a platform had been created and we were, the company was just beginning the commercialization journey of that platform. I felt that would give me, and it indeed has given me, the opportunity to contribute to shaping a neoteric way of supporting clients, which would be much harder to do in a larger organization where decision-making chains are that much longer. And, oftentimes everything is decided by committee. So, I think this all fell into place in line with my desire to foster real economic growth. And my goal is to engage with a broad range of exporters and funders, onboard them onto the platform, and to enable them to trade assets in an efficient yet highly secure manner, and thereby really delivering on that vision of democratizing trade finance.
I was wondering, just for our listeners, just to maybe go off the back of that, to give them the insight as to what it actually means when you say democratize trade finance. What are you guys bringing to the table?
So I guess you're asking there sort of what problem we're solving, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, absolutely. Well, as I was saying, again, one sort of needs to sort of reflect in order to, answer the question and sort of put things in context, as it were. But the overall value of global export trade has grown exponentially since China joined the WTO 20 years ago. Obviously there's a lot of noise from politicians, from the press, from industry at the moment as to, whether the global trade has become, imbalanced as a result of China potentially having joined the WTO on, what some perceive to be overly favourable terms. But, the positive side is that, now we have a global export market that is valued at, approximately $19 trillion per annum. That's an absolutely massive amount. And over that same time frame, or a not dissimilar time frame, communication tools have hugely enhanced and facilitated the ease with which companies can locate counterparties with which to trade. And many companies, particularly mid-cap and smaller businesses, have found trading counterparties, through the internet in distant parts of the world that hitherto, before then, they would have just been impossible to find. So the pyramid upon which much of global trade was based, which was local businesses delivering to larger organizations within their, broadly speaking, domestic sphere, and then those large organizations trading internationally through extended supply chains. A lot of that has broken down, and a mid-cap in the UK, where I'm sitting today, can very readily trade with sort of a mid-cap in Hong Kong or China or wherever, because they've found each other, they can communicate with much greater ease. The challenge remains ensuring that there is appropriate financial support to support those export flows. And a combination of, you know, limited know-how, lack of investor interest, institutional interest around financing some of those smaller businesses, you know, outside of their domestic domain, has brought on and led to the development of a $1.4 trillion trade finance gap. So just under 10% of global trade struggles to get finance every year. So, you know, where, to answer the question, does Finian come in? An exchange platform helps those corporates, particularly those mid-caps, to increase their global sales and optimize their working capital and to minimize their trading risk. And we do that by using artificial intelligence to validate the funding requirements, the finance requirements that they put into our platform. You know, I need X amount of finance against a sale to Y obligor in ABC country. And we match them, you know, like any electronic marketplace, with the most appropriate funders and, where necessary, credit insurers to support those end-to-end funding needs. And, you know, on the other side of the platform, and as I said earlier, this is, you know, what really attracted me to the Finian exchange opportunity. The marketplace enables the institutional funders, banks and NBFIs, to access a range of high-quality assets in a secure and cost-effective manner. And, you know, in doing so, also to spot industry trends, because at the end of the day, which is all about the data, and, you know, we're collecting increasing amounts of data on the platform, which we can then, you know, use for trend analysis, which is of great value to the funding institutions. So, you know, we are, Finian Exchange is a true marketplace. It's absolutely focused on providing that match between a mid-cap exporter's finance requirements, regardless of the type of asset, with the funders that want to engage in financing this sort of business. And, you know, specifically, the fact that we've got AI robotics built into the platform allows us to optimize these processes in a very efficient way. And I think that's what differentiates us from the competition. So, you know, simply put, if a mid-cap enterprise in Germany wants to sell to Argentina, it may well struggle, it probably will struggle to find local institutional partners, finance companies that it's connected to domestically, who would take on that Argentinian risk. Well, you know, through Finian, we've got those Latin American specialists plugged into the platform who can take that risk, hence democratizing the process.
Yeah, I mean, wow, sounds, it's a really powerful platform. And, you know, because you're working in maybe that mid-cap area or business market, I was wondering how you've used branding to communicate your message to the market and maybe also differentiate yourselves in a way to others that are potentially there as well?
Sure. I mean, that's a great question and, you know, very sort of topical, you know, particularly over the last year or so, you know, when marketing activities have, you know, substantially had to go online in the absence of any other way of engaging with a potential marketplace. So, you know, the majority of companies within our space utilize substantial marketing budgets in order to maximize the number of potential clients that they reach. Slightly by contrast, we made a conscious decision early on that the most responsible use of our resources for our institute, our investors, shareholders, was to ensure that we've got the most proficient experts on the team, and we were talking about those a few moments ago, and can therefore capture European customers growing from our home base in Luxembourg through our own network, and to use what we deliver to clients to develop a strong referral practice. And we reinforce this activity with digital positioning through leading media relations, of course, establishing media partnerships. And we help agents, brokers, membership bodies, you know, core sort of constituent of our client base alongside the exporters themselves to enhance the offering that they provide to their membership or their client base and increase the support that they can give to those underlying clients. And we found that that sort of partnership model, including with other B2B platforms and businesses, can be a very promising way of scaling our business as part of the wider ecosystem of trade support services. So, you know, for example, in the Nordic region, we have a partnership with a timber and pulp and paper platform, you know, massive industry up in those markets. Their expertise is around logistics management. You know, obviously, bulky product requires a lot of logistics management to get around the world. And as some of your listeners may well be aware, there's an absolutely massive boom at the moment in the construction industry. In North America in particular, that has a huge use of timber products, many of which are sort of coming across the oceans from the Nordic markets to North America. And, you know, what we have done is to plug in our funding, our finance capability to their platform that is focused on logistics and, you know, end-to-end supply chain management, but without a specific finance function. And that, you know, combination of skills, experience, sector knowledge, you know, is really starting to pay dividends.
You rattled off a number of points there. One was referral practice, the other digital, and then we just spoke about partnerships. You know, how does it would be interesting to maybe dive into the referral practice you mentioned, because a lot of people, anyway, on this show, we tend to focus on the digital side of things. And it's actually quite refreshing to hear that you guys are looking at it actually from a, you're very much not doubling down, but focusing on the referral part of the business, which is organically growing it and making certain your product is good. And then your partners or associates refer you on. And I'm quite keen to understand that in a bit more detail.
You know, what we have recognized, and you know, this isn't necessarily going to work, I think, for all businesses and all startups, but one has to remember that the financing of trade sits as part of a much wider ecosystem of businesses that are undertaking trade, as we've talked about, or facilitating trade. You know, trade doesn't happen from country A to country B, you know, without the involvement of, you know, many, many different sort of experts who are facilitating that process, be that, you know, in the logistics domain, in the freight forwarding domain, in the customs documentation domain, you name it. And that in of itself is actually a challenge. And, you know, actually what it means for the overall industry is that, you know, end-to-end digitalization of processes is a long way off, because, you know, there are so many different actors, so many different moving parts that, you know, full digital process management, you know, particularly when ultimately, you know, you've got national governments involved in a lot of this, not necessarily managing the trade themselves, depending on the sort of how liberal that government is, but you know, they are they're regulating the business, you know, even down to the sort of legal systems which underpin much of this, you know, are still very sort of paper based and oriented in how they operate. So, you know, where am I going with this? We have been very specific in terms of determining the limitations across that broader ecosystem as to where we can bring about change and therefore deliver value. And we're very focused on sticking to our domain, which is providing value in a digitized and enhanced ways, particularly for the mid-cap exporters, in helping them find the funding for their business requirements. Now, in terms of acquiring those clients, you know, it has become clear to us as we've grown and developed that, yes, indeed, we can continue and we do continue to acquire businesses directly from sort of marketing and sort of branding-led opportunities as we raise our business profile. But Many of these businesses, you know, form parts of local chapters or chambers or industry groups, you know, where they quite rightly, you know, share market intelligence and sort of feed off each other's expertise and know-how. So, you know, one of the key pivots around how we have evolved our business, and you know, this is a good example actually of product evolution, if you like, has been to develop what we call our intermediaries module, which allows those specialist brokers and advisors and B2B platforms to route business to us, you know, on behalf of their clients or on behalf of their members. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, from a brokerage perspective, you know, even to manage those transactions on behalf of the underlying clients, because, you know, many of these businesses don't necessarily have the expertise in-house. They outsource that to these sort of brokers and experts, and therefore we need to be engaging with those brokers and experts in order to generate business. Now, you know, the good news is onboard one membership organization or from a business referral perspective, or one broker from a business management perspective, and they bring with them multiple underlying businesses who ultimately engage and interact with the platform. And that's, you know, therein is of itself, you know, scaling.
No, totally get it. And you mentioned in there delivering value to our customers, and obviously part of making certain that you continuously deliver that value is your team, and getting that team up to speed and, you know, motoring in all fronts. We've talked about some of the experts that you brought in, but I also, you know, like to understand how you guys are looking at growing your team as your business scales. What are your thoughts as you go through the motions and develop that team out?
Sure. So, you know, initially the core team was comprised of Michelle Kilsey, Finian Exchange's founder, who I referenced earlier, and who remains CEO of the holding company, and a gentleman called Ribal Swain, who's our CTO. And between them, they led the creation and development of the platform. Michelle, being a seasoned entrepreneur who launched Finian Exchange as his fourth technology venture, having acquired extensive experience in the fintech and working capital domains. Ribal, who has over 20 years experience managing and leading highly specialized software development companies all over the world, including, you know, US and Asia, as well as the home base of Europe. After that initial phase of sort of platform development, and, you know, that had concluded, the business entered, as I was saying a little earlier, into its commercialization phase, and the team expanded to include Hussein Alameen, our head of business development, and Frederick Bowens, our head of relationship management, and then finally myself. Hussein has 10 plus years of experience developing startups, particularly in the trade finance, factoring and fintech space, so very relevant experience in the commercial world. Fred began his career as an auditor at Ernst & Young, and then moved across to ING, the bank, the Dutch bank, where he gained experience as a structured finance and trade receivables expert, before then moving to work on the sort of negotiation and business development side of the European Investment Bank in Luxembourg. And we touched a bit earlier, you know, on my experience, so I won't go over that again. So, you know, we've got a fantastic, you know, amongst what I call the core team today, you know, fantastic sort of breadth of experience and expertise. And as we look forward, you know, we're aiming to bring on certainly more seasoned business development professionals. We are going to be, you know, rather more distinctly dividing activities as the process of engagement with clients, bringing them on board to our platform, and then servicing them, you know, requires differentiation of skills. So we'll undoubtedly be looking to engage a sort of onboarding professional who can sort of deal with the, sort of the paperwork, the T's and C's around getting clients on board and then make sure that they are nurtured, certainly in the initial phases of joining the platform. For me, you know, that early stage engagement is very critical. You know, one develops an awful lot of excitement around a relationship when you're selling to somebody. Oftentimes, once that sale process is over, and we can all relate this, I think, to our personal lives as well as our professional lives, you know, things can fall a bit flat. So I want to be absolutely sure that, you know, once we've brought a client on, that they, whether it's an exporter on the one side of the platform or a fund on the other, that they feel, you know, loved and nurtured as we, you know, continue to develop a business relationship. So that's going to be, in particular, a very critical hire for us.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I totally agree with you. And as, you know, part of, I guess, part of building that team out, you must be thinking of, you know, what internal systems you need to, you know, build, and what internal processes you just mentioned onboarding as one, but what internal processes you need to build out as well. So how are you, because you can do everything, but that's not going to maybe get you where you want to right now. But how are you, I guess, prioritizing those factors right now to make certain that you have the right engagement internally and also have the right experience from an external point of view?
Yeah, for us, technology will continue to be a huge enabler for the sort of global economic activity, particularly global trade, that we are looking to support. And I'd say that the internet in particular has powered a revolution in the way in which companies, particularly mid-cap and smaller businesses, interact with each other and with their underlying customers. So recognizing that, you know, what does technology in our domain enable? It's the more efficient management and passage of data. And, you know, at the end of the day, trade finance is all around efficient management of key data points. And that data, smart businesses, I think, have realized, is, you know, rapidly becoming the new global currency. Managing the data and efficient processing of that data and understanding of that data, you know, enables businesses and financial institutions through relevant applications to, you know, greatly enhance their efficiency. And therefore, in turn, that's underpinning a global economic model that is as revolutionary, I would say, as the change brought about through, you know, respectively, the industrial and then the manufacturing revolutions 1 and 2 centuries ago. So, you know, so specific to what we're doing, you know, the Finian Exchange platform uses augmented intelligence to help those companies that are putting their data sets into our platform, you know, to free up cash on their balance sheet. That's ultimately what we're doing with that data, and optimize their working capital by undertaking that analysis of those data sets and then matching them with the relevant and appropriate financial institutions and insurers who've indicated that they have an appetite for that, those sorts of assets. You know, within the business management process, sort of the final part of your question, we've implemented a pipeline tracking system from which we generate reports every Friday. And those are used as the basis for our weekly business development meeting taking place every Monday morning, in which we then look forward and say, right, you know, this is what the pipeline is telling us. These are the key points of connection that we need to move forward. And therefore, you know, you and you are assigned with moving this, that, and the other forward over the next 5 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important to have that information at hand and continuously on a Monday for you guys anyway, but continuously have those conversations from a pipeline point of view, because things change, right? And if you're not always, I like to say the phrase, if you're not always top of mind with clients, then you're not in mind at all. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not, of course, as you might point out, it's not just sort of a Monday morning exercise.
Yeah.
It's the discipline that gets the team together in a, as a single unit, and from which, you know, we're then constantly, you know, reviewing, updating, engaging, informing, you know, as those points of connection are made. And, you know, just before coming on to the show this morning, you know, I was doing exactly that, looking back at activity that I'd engaged in sort of 2 or 3 days ago, working out where points of connection, you know, needed to be nudged along in order to get an answer. And, you know, bingo, by dropping a quick note early morning into somebody's email box, you get, for the most part, the desired response. It's just being on top of the process.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree with that. And listen, as we come towards the end of the show, I was wondering what, as you guys are also moving forward and you're building up a great platform, what questions are you as a senior leadership asking yourselves? And also, I guess, from a trade finance point of view, maybe factors being considered, you know, political, economic, etc.
You know, one silver lining, and there aren't many, of the COVID crisis has been the greatly increased pace of digitalization of trade finance processes, and the recognition by many in our industry that legacy-based paper products and processes have to change. And as I was saying, you know, a few moments ago, you know, it's a big task, but there are substantial moves ahead, you know, in train as well as ahead. And, you know, the industry has sort of really been forced to grapple with this conundrum. You know, employees, for the most part, at the institutions that fund trade finance, the businesses that are engaged in the field of trade, have been working from home for extended periods. And as a result, between them, businesses, financiers have been forced to find creative workarounds in order to avoid physical supply chains seizing up and to keep the wheels of global commerce turning. And, you know, this turbocharging, as I call it, of the digital agenda is, you know, I think likely to endure all over the world as we emerge from the COVID tunnel, because private enterprise, business associations, regulators, governments, all of those, you know, constituent parts of the global trade ecosystem are engaging in projects, proof of concepts that aim to digitalize both pre- and post-trade processes. But, you know, as I said, despite those advantages and benefits being very clear, there remain significant constraints to sort of wide, broad-scale adoption of digital processes and procedures, with the key barriers being legislation, standardization of rules. You know, this is a rules-based environment in which we operate. Adoption of those standards, and, you know, ultimately commercialization. So we're asking ourselves at Finian Exchange, which parts of the trade finance transaction cycle can we add the most value to? And in our opinion, helping businesses to access finance that hitherto might be out of reach by showcasing and then matching their financing needs with that range of institutions that have an interest in those sorts of assets. You know, that's delivering against our agenda of democratizing trade finance and bringing value to all involved its stakeholders.
Yeah, I know, some really great points there. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, the digitization of pre- and post-trade processes, especially because there seems to be quite a lot of characters or stakeholders involved in getting that moving forward.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I think full digital adoption and commercialization is ultimately going to depend on the creation of, you know, open trade and technology standards that globally promote connectivity, interoperability amongst networks and platforms that are connecting the physical and financial trade worlds. But, you know, I think key to making progress, certainly key to us making progress at Finian Exchange, is being laser focused on ensuring that we understand our customers' workflows and that we bring them value by helping them to leverage digital technology in a way that enables them to manage their businesses more efficiently, you know, thereby increasing, hopefully, their revenues. And, you know, we deviate from that particular path at our peril, I would say.
No, totally. Totally understand. And, yeah, completely agree there. And, listen, I mean, I always like to ask my guests, what books or podcasts are you listening to or reading right now that you think our listeners would benefit from?
Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting question. And you know, what I put down as I went to sleep last night, I like to sort of read for half an hour before going off to sleep. I sort of find it very therapeutic. I've been, last couple of weeks, reading the biography of Ernest Bevin, written by Andrew Adonis. And you know, a lot of listeners may not have a clue who Ernest Bevin was, but he was a trade unionist, British born and bred, who then became probably the one of the most important people in Churchill's government in the 1940s, basically managing much of what was happening on the home environment as one of Churchill's key ministers in the early 1940s. And, you know, what was fascinating was this gentleman was not an MP, became an MP, not that that is strictly required in the UK constitutional context, of course, to be an MP, but, you know, space was found for him to be an MP. And, you know, specifically at the request of Winston Churchill, who, you know, by background was a polar opposite of Ernest Bevin, you know, was brought into government and, you know, achieved so much, instrumental in so much of what happened on the sort of domestic front in the UK during those troubled times. And, you know, post-war, he went on to become, you know, a very influential foreign minister, UK, you know, instrumental in setting up the United Nations, instrumental in the creation of the Federal Republic of Germany against stiff opposition at the time from the Soviets. And, you know, but, you know, an individual who nobody, you know, really talks about anymore. And, you know, what inspires me to do, Richard, is to continue just as he did 100 years ago to broaden my horizons and to lead businesses forward in a consultative manner, you know, whilst remaining focused on those longer term business objectives. He did that very capably. I wish I could be, you know, half as capable as him, and I think I'd be doing reasonably well.
Oh, great. I mean, I think that description means that I am going to download that on Amazon this weekend and start reading it, because it sounds like a great book to pick up and read.
No, you know, an individual born into poverty in Somerset, who by the end of his life was, you know, rubbing shoulders with royalty and, you know, completely at ease with them. But, you know, much more importantly, you know, delivering such value many nations in, you know, at a time of you know, great world trouble. And, you know, we as humans on this planet, and this is through the work, as I said, he was doing, setting up the United Nations, and you know, his role as Foreign Secretary from 1945 until 1950 in the UK, you know, instrumental in terms of, you know, much of what we've been talking about today, you know, that multipolar, freely trading trade economic landscape that, you know, we take for granted, that could have looked oh so very different if it hadn't been for leading men like him at the time.
Great. And listen, it's been an absolutely fantastic show today. I've really loved the sound bites that you've given us, and also the deep insights you've provided as to what you guys are doing at Finian Exchange and how you guys are scaling. So thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been, you know, fantastic to have you on.
Richard, it's been an absolute pleasure. Great talking with you, as always. And, it's been fun as well as thought-provoking as we've chatted this morning. And that's possibly the best sort of combination.
Sounds good. Okay, we'll speak soon anyway.